JSE listed Purple Group has decided against paying its non-executive chairman Mark Barnes fees amounting to 2.858 million rand for the year ended August 2018. It came out with a statement on Monday to say that it had incorrectly disclosed his fees in that amount, when in actual fact his fees would amount to 500,000 rand instead. The latest move has got some scratching their heads, as Barnes, who's also the CEO of the South African Post Office, was paid over 2 million rand for the two previous financial years. But could the about turn have something to do with some shareholders making a noise about the planned 2.8 million rand disbursement? Well, to discuss the matter further, I'm joined on the line by Theo Botha. He's a shareholder activist and one of the people who raised the alarm at the original planned payout. Thanks very much for joining us, Theo. You are one of the people who took issue with Mr. Barnes getting a non-executive chairman fee at Purple Group of 2.8 million rand. What were your reservations?
Well, I mean, I just couldn't believe it was so high for a company with such a small cap. You know, if you look at some of the other companies and you look at, let's say, Bidvest, it's got a 70 billion market cap and the chairman there earns 1.4 million. Capitec has got a market cap of 128 billion and the chairman earns 1.3 million. And Purple Group's market cap is 280, and the chairman's asking for an increase to 2.8 from, I think it was 2.6 million. Hmm. I just thought it was outrageous.
So do you think that the company's issuing of that statement yesterday, suggesting that they had made a mistake and that in fact the fee will now be 500,000 rand and not the 2.8 million, do you think that came as a result of pressure from people like yourself?
Well, yes, I think the pressure that I applied was in December. At the end of December, I raised this issue on Twitter, and I said, look, this is exorbitant in terms of the fee structure. I don't accept their argument to say they made an error. If they've made an error, then they made an error on the annual fees, which was in the annual financial statement at 274,000. That now has become 291,000. Then they made another error on the attendance before board meetings. That was 37,000. That now increased to 40,000. And then the attendance fee for subcommittee meetings was 18,000. That is now being increased to 20,000. I mean, how can you make so many errors?
Also,
the other issue, which I think shareholders should be aware of, I think it's really unacceptable for a shareholder to go to a meeting and then say, oh, we've changed this resolution. I mean, we have a form of communication in terms of if you're a listed company and you can put it through SENS.
Yeah.
So surely they should have put it through SENS before the shareholder gets to the meeting and say, look, these resolutions, we've made an error, and then this is what the reason for the error. And forewarn the shareholders. We weren't forewarned. There were three other resolutions which were withdrawn. The one was the parting away of Mr. Lubner. So that resolution was withdrawn. And then the other one was the ratification of Mr. Dennis Alter. That was withdrawn. So I think that in terms of the two resolutions, you know, they should have forewarned the shareholders and told them, look, this is what we've done. Because if you're a shareholder and you send in your proxy, and you've sent the proxy in and you can't attend, then the chairman has probably the right to vote the shares in the way he thinks best to vote the shares.
Hmm. And what about Mr. Barnes getting paid an additional 2 million rand for having secured a 100 million rand investment by Sanlam into Easy Equities, which is about, you know, 2% of the transaction value? I see most shareholders voted in favor of that at the AGM, with around 7% voting against. Were you one of those who was against?
Yes, I've voted my one share against that. And so, the reason being is that I think that, you know, it sets a wrong precedent. Here we have a chairman who actually owns 22% of the company. So basically they said to me when I challenged them on this issue, they said Mark Barnes worked on this for 18 months. He spent a lot of time and effort on it. So obviously it probably ran into days in terms of he worked on this issue. I then asked them, well, you know, surely the CEO or the executives should also be involved. And they said, yes, the executives were out there trying to raise funds. It was in a very difficult market that they were moving to try and get the funds, and Mark was the one who managed to do this.
Yeah.
However, Mark owns 22% of the company. They also said that this was a fantastic deal because $100 million for an equity sale on easy equities of 30% really valued the company, you know, quite high in relation to the fact that the company is making losses. But if it's such a great deal, Mark would benefit from it through his owning of 22% of the shareholding.
Yeah, yeah.
And he would then get the benefit out of it. On top of that, Mark also gets the benefit of the 2.7 million chairman's fees, which are hopelessly out of the market in the sense that it's right at the top end of chairmen that are being paid. I mean, I've just mentioned Capitec and various other companies. They don't even get that. So for the last 2 years, Mark has actually been overpaid, and we can see by how much he's been overpaid by looking at what he's come down to, which is $500,000.
Hmm.
So he's been overpaid by $2.2 million per year. So that's $4.4 million over the last 2 years. I mean, this is out and out greed.
Hmm. So you indicated that you were surprised that Mr. Barnes himself and other key people were not at the AGM, and that also includes the company's auditors. Just elaborate on your concerns in that regard.
Well, I think you would expect when you attend an annual general meeting, you expect the leader of the company, being the chairman, to actually be the one who coordinates this meeting. So that's the first formality. You would also expect the chairman of the audit committee to be there. You would expect the chairman of the remuneration committee to be there. You would expect the chairman of the social and ethics committee to be there. And you'd expect the chairman of the risk committee to be there. Well, they weren't there. So my first question, you know, to the person who did chair the meeting, which was the CEO, Mr. Savage, was, well, you know, where are the directors? Oh, well, they couldn't make it because one of them was on holiday, and I don't know where Mr. Barnes was. So, but the setting of the AGM date is in the hands of the board. So if they felt that they couldn't make this meeting on the 7th of January, surely they could have called for the meeting on at a later date, maybe towards the end of January.
Mm.
Because they normally have their meetings, you know, first week or last or second week in December, and then they close off their year. They did say that, you know, the financials came out late, but then you can just move your AGM. As long as you get your financials out, you can move your AGM to whatever day. So anybody in his right mind would expect that the chairman would chair it. Here we had, the only people we had here were the executive committee.
Yeah.
The executive directors. I mean, that's just very weird.
Your responses do give us a sense, but what are your views on the Purple Group's current governance structures and the extent to which they're compliant with King IV principles, which JSC-listed companies are supposed to adhere to?
So Purple Group basically say they have this register on their website, and I actually tried to find the register and I couldn't really find it. So my viewpoint, barring what they say in the register, is that their non-compliance to King on the first degree would be most companies would put forward their remuneration report and they would put forward their remuneration policy. This company put forward the policy but never put forward the report for a non-binding vote. So there they never complied with King. You would then look at composition of the audit committee. Basically, the composition of the audit committee, King's advocating that it's independent non-executive directors that are committee members. Here, Mark Barnes was one of the members. The excuse they furnished was a smallish company, and we could only get two independent directors. I can sort of accept that, that reason. But what I can't accept is the fact that most listed companies would always put forward their audit committee members every year to the AGM and to the shareholders to vote. This company doesn't do that, and that's a ruling in terms of the Companies Act.
Hmm.
So I asked them, you know, why don't they do that, and they didn't know why they didn't do that. So I think from a governance perspective, they have a problem in the sense that I don't think they have addressed the issue of good corporate governance. And they need to obviously need to look at that, being that two of the directors, you know, Mr. Alter and Mr. Lubner, are off the board. Mr. Alter now, for interest's sake, is never attended any board meetings or committee meetings for the last 4 years, and yet the board decided to put his name forward for re-election. How can the board decide to do that where a director doesn't attend any meetings?
Hmm.
I mean, so you've got to try and understand the thought process of Mr. Barnes, and this is what he's doing. And if it's a lack of governance here, you know, could there be a lack of governance somewhere else where he's sitting on? I don't know, but definitely not. I definitely not looking at good governance here from the King Four perspective.
You've asked a lot of questions that hopefully they'll be willing to try and answer also on a public platform.
Yeah, I think that what they need to do is to issue their minutes of the meeting. And that's what a lot of listed companies don't do. They need to put those minutes out so that every single shareholder can see what questions I asked, and then the shareholders can then see the response. And then let the shareholders decide. I think that's a transparent way of handling this issue. Because, you know, my viewpoint, yeah, there are a lot of issues that haven't been addressed in terms of corporate governance. This issue of corporate governance and the lack thereof, the only person who should accept responsibility for this is Mark Barnes.
All right, Theo, we're going to leave it there. You've raised a lot of questions that need answers to, not just for yourself, but obviously other shareholders as well. Thank you for your time and your insights. That was Theo Botha. He's a shareholder activist.